Hey, it's me, Paige DeSorbo, and I'm so excited to share my new shoe collection at DSW, filled with my favorite styles and trends for spring. Because if you know me, you know I'm kind of obsessed with shoes. And by kind of obsessed, I mean head over heels. You're going to love these shoes. So snag super cute styles like cute flats, fun heels, and cool sneakers from the Paige DeSorbo collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
All right, Bob, we're going to get to hockey and Jay Caulfield in just a moment. But you promised us the Pirate lineup for today with Paul Skeens on the mound in Tampa. What do we got?
Well, I was more intrigued with the cleanup hitter today. So here we go. Adam Frazier leading off. That's your favorite.
Okay, batting what? He's 140?
Batting first.
Yep.
Brian Reynolds second.
Yep.
O'Neal
off to
Cruz,
another slow
third.
Start. Off to another slow start.
Your cleanup hitter today, Tommy Pham. Followed by Jack Sawinski.
My.
D. Brian Hayes.
God.
Andy Rodriguez, Jared Triolo, Isaiah Kiner-Falefa.
I don't think, ninth. I honestly don't think a team, joking aside, in the majors will field a worse lineup than that today. Do you agree?
Well, they can themselves beat that lineup by inserting some of the guys they have on their bench.
Wait, Kiner-Falefa's ninth again?
Uh-huh.
He's their best hitter so far, Limits.
Yeah, he has been.
Well, I thought he should have been leadoff today just for that reason. But, I mean, Pham is just, he's off to a terrible start, and he's batting cleanup today. But this is some rotating cleanup hitters that you have.
This is horrifying, Bob. It really is. Tommy Pham is batting .095.
Does he have an RBI yet? Do you know?
No. Neither does Key Brian Hayes. All right, forget that. Let's avoid that for as long as possible. But we'll come back to it. And let's get to another Pittsburgh team that's been struggling pretty much for, the whole season. But may have some hope in some of these young guys that are now getting recalled. We'll see about that. Let's go to Jay Caulfield, who's on the Sullivan Super Service fan hotline, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Stanley Cup champion Jay Caulfield, I might add, Bob. And Jay, do you think the new guys are going to inject a little life here? How do you think the Penguins can find maybe a kernel of hope in the end of their season?
Yeah, first off, good morning, guys. Good to talk to both of you. And
you too, Jay.
Yeah, I do. I mean, I do think, guys. I mean, they needed something. It's been talked about. These guys have been talked about since the Gensel trade and McGroarty since the trade, and he came aboard. They've been talked about all year long, so it's good to get them in right now. I would never see why not. I mean, in my opinion, anybody you anticipate being in this lineup next year, it's great to get some games under your belt, and then you'd be coming in more comfortable next year. So I'm all for it. I thought it was a great move, and I think Mike Sullivan put them in the right places, and they were effective. You know, they were good in the roles that they were in, and McGroarty playing with Crosby, I think. You can see, strong defensively, had great opportunities, some good opportunities. To play with Crosby, you got to be playing at a high level, like energy-wise even. Not only just your intelligence in the game, but, you know, play the give-and-go game that he likes, but also be able to go up and back. You know, 200 feet, that's the great line today, a 200-foot game, but you have to have that. And you have to have the energy to go through that and be able to play at that tempo. I thought they did a good job the other night.
You mentioned Sidney again, and after getting that record setter, continues to do things. You know, that game, that 1-0 game, man, I just looked at so many little things that could have resulted in goals, little things that prevented goals. He does all those little things like that, and he's playing at a level, Jay, where most people his age, you're not going to see that level. I wonder, in your mind, how long you think he can play?
Yeah, Bob, I mean, my God, I mean, you think, I don't know when you know, like, Father Time hits you, you know what I mean? Like, in a way, I mean, there's certain parts of his game, I'm sure, that he feels that it's not the same when he was, you know, in his 20s, maybe, you know, taking somebody wide, doing all those things. But whatever it might be, I just think the way athletes in general, number one, and we've said this a lot, the athletes today, there's no off season. Like you get a mental break from the grind of the schedule and the game and what the pressure you have with that. But you don't see guys getting out of shape and then have to really, turn it on and before camp and get ready to go. They kind of maintain it, you know, throughout the year. And it's 12 months that you have to be in that position and ready to go. With that being said, I think what he does, and now he's constantly working to improve the game. 100% of his world is in the game of hockey, and I think he can go. Barring, it's going to be about, you know, do you shake? Do you stay away from the injury bug? You know, he's been through a lot already in his career, but can you stay away from it? These remaining years, that's the stuff that goes with it. And because I don't see his drive or intensity and love for the game waning at all.
No.
So it's what he does, and I think that's what will give you that, you know, that even further, a longer career. Because I don't believe guys like that want to be, Joe, Bob, I don't think they want to play. Would they be good at playing a different role later on in their career? I don't see him being a player like that. Mario never, he's not going to be, I'll be your second or third line center. That wasn't going to happen with Mario. I don't think it's going to happen with Sid either. The only player I knew that was able to do that was Brian Trottier. Brian Trottier, who was probably the most unassuming superstar playing in the game of hockey. You know, what he won and what he accomplished. He was able to come to the Penguins and play a third line role and be such an integral part of what took place in Stanley Cup teams. I don't know if that's in the makeup of what Trotz did was something unique. I don't know if that's in these other guys, DNA. And that'll be just something that we'll see how long that goes. But I think he's going to run and carry this team. And as I said, staying away from an injury bug or whatever might sidetrack him, that's it. Otherwise, a number of years still to go.
Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And the text line on which you can communicate with our dear friend City Limits, brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates Personal Injury Law Firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Jay, how do we figure out this Tristan Jarry guy? It seemed to be going great. It's either been great or horrible with nowhere right in between. How do you figure this, and what do you think his future holds here?
Yeah, I don't, I think he was obviously, I said it before, the games he came back, he should have been a star of a game. You know, not the star, but one of the stars in almost all those games he played when he came back out before they put Ned in for one game, then he came back. Three of the four games, for sure, he was that good. I thought the other night against Otto, he was really good again. But I think the team in front of him was way better. The two hiccup games, yeah, I don't know what happened with that, Joe. I mean, you got to think, you sat one night, then you come back and you're not the same. The team in front of him wasn't the same either, but that, beside the point, he wasn't the same goaltender. Then he comes back against Otto and very good. I don't know what that's going to be like. I don't know what you need to play him. I'm sure myself, they're going to play him all the way out, unless he has another down night and you got to go the other way. They know what they have in Ned. They know what he's going to be as their backup goalie. You know, they know what they have there. You got to find him what value. I still think it's about increasing value. I mean, if he has a good run, that helps everybody. That helps him. That helps the team. That helps Kyle Dubas. And then you see what decisions are made from there.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Yes, I would agree with that, because I think, they got to get something out of this. And it would, I would love to see him play the way he played the other night consistently. His whole thing has been consistency, lack of it.
Yeah.
Now they have this kid, Mirashov, down there. Jay, I don't know what you've heard about him, but He's won a lot of games in a row, and he, you know, people that I talk to, and I don't know him, I never met him, but people that I talk to who do and have seen him and been part of that say that the guy has a tremendous confidence about him. Like, he's really, for his age, he knows what he's doing, and he believes it, and he's you know, one of those kind of leader types. Do you hear that, and what do you expect from him in the next year?
Yeah, I hear the same thing. So, but I want to go back to one thing, too, real quick on the Jari thing. You know, you if you get through the regular season, they still have – he still has the hurdle of the playoff thing, right?
Right.
Never hasn't won the playoffs. So that would be the next step if it went on. But just if that's – you know, because if that was coming around right now, that would be the first thing when the regular season ended. The first thing that's going to come out of the people's mouths is going to be, well, can he do it in the playoffs? All right, so let's remember that as we move forward. Now about the young goaltender. Yeah, Bob, absolutely. I mean, I've heard the same drive, the same – call, you know, has no problem waking his team up if they're not playing well in front of him. I've heard a mix of all of that. I also will say at the same time, ECHL, the East Coast to the American League to the NHL, one step to the next is one thing. AHL to the NHL is a whole nother. It's a giant step. And I think they all want to temper, you know, what they have. We saw what happened to Blomqvist here when the team in front of him wasn't that good at times, and it lit them up. You got to be very careful with it. But I think they feel they have something special. And it's about the personality that you met. On top of the skill, it's the parts that you mentioned, Bob, drive and willing and the confidence to be the best. That's it. And again, I think and I did hear that he has no problem straightening guys out when they get back in the locker room. They need to be better, blah, blah, blah. All that goes with that. But again, huge step from American to the NHL. Because every player, they're coming at you, the shot's different, the placement, you know, all that goes with that. So I think they're well aware of it, but they really feel like they have something right there.
All right, Jay, we'll leave you with this, is that Ovi is down to 4 goals, and he has 8 games. It's becoming quite apparent that this is probably going to happen this season. It could happen tonight in Carolina. He's capable, obviously, of a 4-goal game. But if it comes down to the finale, April 17th, right here at PPG Paints Arena, do you think that would be a major talking point with the Penguins to try to hold him away from the record? Would that be a point of pride in the final game? If you were playing, could you imagine it being that way? Or what are your thoughts there?
I think I feel like nobody wants to be a part of the – they don't want to be the goaltender that's on the film for the rest of their lives, you know, as the one that let in the goal that changed everything, right? But at the same time, there's a different level of respect with this guy. I don't know. To me, it's such a great story. The NHL needs it. I think what the Penguins would do is play their game, and if he beats them and scores a goal or beats Gretzky in this in Pittsburgh, I think it is what it is. I think they're going to just do their thing. Always trying to eliminate him on the power play. They always try and take that away. I don't see them doing anything any different. But you made a point last week there, Joe, if they're down by one, do they pull their goalie? And, you know, I don't think – I can honestly – a goal's a goal. I don't think Ovechkin wants it to be an empty netter. And I might be wrong on that. I might be wrong. Who knows? Just getting a goal. But I think he'd like it to be in the fashion that he's done it in his career and from the one of the best – of all time release of a one-timer from the half wall, anything like that. But I don't think the empty netter might be one of the things that comes into play, Joe, if it happened. But to me, I think the story has been outstanding. I think the NHL would love to have it carry over into the following year to get the most out.
Yeah.
Right.
Jay, one final question for you. Just regarding the end. Do you remember the time when, and I've always thought this, when Ovechkin, who still scores from the same position, because this shot is so good, it doesn't matter. Do you remember when teams would like to take Mario out? In other words, just have one guy, and then Mario himself would take himself out of a power play. In other words, just say, okay, you're going to stay with me. I'll just move here and it'll be 4-on-3. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I remember Mario chuckling about it, Bob.
Right. And I mean, he did a smart thing. But I'm surprised no one's gone to that tactic, you know, just to try to stop him on the power play specifically.
Well, but the thing is, he's evolved too, right? And then before it used to be Backstrom and Oshie and Carlson. Right. So if you try and take him away, they're going to beat you because they were so good. Oshie in the pocket, Backstrom on the half wall, Carlson at the point. I think Mario just abused that. I mean, and it depends what talent you have around you, because you give great players a 4-on-3 and more than likely they're going to beat you, right? So I do remember. I especially remember it happening in Hartford. I remember us going to game, and I almost remember Mario almost like leaning on our own bench, like laughing. I'm seriously almost chuckled about it. Like, if you want to do that, go ahead and look what happens. So I think they could try anything like that, Bob. I think they just lean to his side to want to take that away. And the way guys block shots and the bravery that it takes to do that, they get in front of it. But they still haven't found a way to stop him. If you watch, he moves around so much more. He scores all different ways. And so he's evolved as well, and obviously to be the goal scorer that he is. But it's a really good point, Bob. But I do remember Mario and our power plays totally abusing when somebody tried to do that. It's true. It's a really good point. And I believe Perry Maguire was part of that. And I think he tried anything to stop Mario when he was in Hartford. Nothing could work. Yeah, no.
Jay, we appreciate the time as always, and we'll talk to you next week.
Okay, guys, great to talk to both of you as well. You take care.
You too. Thank you, Jay. Telestrator man does a great job with that, too.
Yes, he does. Does a great job with everything. All right, Bob, coming up next, it's time for the Limitless Express. We can all hop aboard in the 12 o'clock hour. We have Dan Zangrilli and then Mark Cabali, the big boy. And did you see the flap this week, Bob, where it looked like the big boy fell asleep right next to Mike Tomlin at the owners' meetings? Did you see this?
I did see it. I'm not believing that he was sleeping.
Okay.
Do you?
Yes, but I don't think he'll fess up to it when we have him on. I think it's going to be very interesting. Yes. I have a lot of questions. Do you?
Yeah. He got a lot of play out of that, I can tell you that.
Could it have been an act, Bob, to get publicity for the McAfee show?
I mean, maybe, yes. I doubt that. I don't think that's really the guy. I think it was just he had a long night. You know, they do those things.
Yeah.
I've been down there a lot, and they do them really early in the morning.
Yeah.
And if you're not awake, you could very easily find yourself, and, you know, one picture says what it says. You could read into it if you want. I don't think he was doing it that way. I just think he was tired and maybe, you know, just got a little bit of... Taking a little cat nap while you can, but I don't think he was fully asleep.
When you've been down there, I'm assuming this was for Cowher and Tomlin. Have you socialized with the head coaches when you're down there?
It's really good. The owners' meetings is really an open book kind of thing down there. They have all the GMs, all the owners, all the coaches, and they make them available as best they can. You can go to, you know, pick whatever table you want to go to. Obviously, we concentrate on Pittsburgh coaches, but if there's something that happened with Kevin Stefanski or any of these other guys, you can go over there and be part of it. And very rarely do you get that opportunity.
I mentioned yesterday, upon hearing Tomlin take a little shot at Cabali, a good-natured shot, that I wish we would get the off-the-cuff sort of fun Mike Tomlin more often than all we seem to get is the formal one. Do we have that little clip where Cabali, after he woke up, said that he likes candy bars and so does DK Metcalf?
Apparently we have the same appetite for candy, me and DK. You hear about that?
No, I didn't.
Apparently he eats 4 or 5 candy bars a day.
Really?
Not me. Really? That's what he said on a podcast.
He wears it a little differently than you.
You got to give him credit for that one. It was
good
a dart.
Stuff.
That was a dart.
He wears it a little differently than you. God, I love that, Bob. I really do. And you've gotten to know that Tomlin more than I think all of us practically.
Well, you get to know him, and that sort of sense of humor is very much a part of his makeup. And, you know, I think during the week when these press conferences happen, all these guys are the same. They don't really engage you. But when you see him out on these kinds of situations, you see that he's really quick-witted, too. Comes up with lines like that one.
That was a great line. Yeah. All right. So the big boy, Cabali, is in the noon hour, but up next, the Limitless Express.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Greene from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
You know what that means, Bob. It's time to hop on board because the Limitless Express is leaving the station. The 50-minute mark on the Fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19, Peters Township. And the time is 11:40, brought to you by Gina Giampietro of RE/MAX Select Realty. Limits, the floor is yours, my friend.
All right, let's start it off, guys, with the most controversial topic at the NFL owners' meetings, which is the tush push. There is a large group of teams that is for banning the tush push. The Steelers are included in that group, and there are also a large group of teams, of course, led by the Eagles, that want the tush push to stand and continue. I know that, Bob, you are heavy against the tush push. Are you surprised that the Steelers are in lockstep with you?
No, not necessarily. I think they understand it was an innovative play, and you know, I don't think they want to tax innovative plays, but my only question to that is why then on a blocked field goal you're not allowed to do any kind of pushing or jump. You know, they make it one way citing safety, the other way it goes against what the previous rule for that is. So I mean, regardless of what I think it's going to be here, I don't think they're going to change this rule at all. Seems like it's been tabled for now, and I think it's a direct indication that the league does not like the fact that the Eagles, and more lesser extent the Bills, have come up with a way to convert these things. If their percentage was 47%, not 87%, I think the league would, you know, not have a big problem with it. But I think those other teams do have a problem with it. Give them credit for being creative, but it's not consistent with the other rule about blocking field goals.
So let me get this straight. The big, bad, tough, nasty Pittsburgh Steelers are against the tush push. How about find a way to stop it? Or as Ray Fittipaldo wrote today in the Post-Gazette, find a way to do it. Last year, they had a 6'3", 230-pound quarterback who could come in at any time in Justin Fields. They could have put Mount Washington and anybody else behind him, Jaylen Warren. Jaylen Warren and Mount Washington with that quarterback behind Zach Frazier. Why didn't they do it? They did it in like a half-assed way a couple times, but they were mostly a lousy short yardage team that cost them games. And now they're voting against this? I don't get it, Bob. I don't see a problem with the play. It's not applicable to field goals for me. It's more applicable to what we see when a guy like Jaylen Warren gets the ball on the goal line and, you know, he's heading toward the goal line and 17 teammates come up and start pushing him from behind. That happens with every team. Why can't you do it at the line of scrimmage? I don't understand it. All these teams are crybaby, whiner, soft for this, for voting against it. I'm glad it got tabled. I'm glad it looks like it has a chance to stay. Stop it if you don't like it, or better yet, copy it.
I fully agree with you, Joe. I think that the innovation that was created in this and a lot of the things that Tomlin and others have talked about is, does it look like the field goal block play and the player safety element of it? I feel like there are probably some teams that are claiming player safety when they really think that the rule is just one that they can't stop and they want an excuse for it. And they want
Crowley,
to have it.
And the Crowley's, thing is, there was no injury in
no
that
injury.
Play
no.
At all.
No injuries. Zero. That is such a crock to even bring up the player safety. So the alternative would be to turn the ball and give it to your running back on short yardage. That's safer somehow? What?
I think it's just the fact that there are so many bodies piling on top of each other and the idea that, you know, knees
that's
could
football.
Buckle. Or
yes, that's football limits in a nutshell. Bodies piling on top of each other. Get out of here with this, Bob.
Come on,
the
Bob.
The Steelers are voted against this? Come
yeah,
on.
I was surprised. I thought they appreciated the innovation part of it.
How about Tomlin saying it's a very innovative play? They've definitely taken big steps towards innovation that compared to what we have done. basically admitting, yes, we are not a very innovative organization that come
well,
up with
like Kansas City. Kansas City coming up. Remember that whirling, spinning huddle that they had? And
you're wondering,
what are they doing? But they're just trying to figure out ways.
I mean, of all teams, the Steelers have publicly stated that their goal is to build a rugged, in-your-face, smash-mouth offense. That's why they've drafted an offensive line and running backs and everything else, and they can't get a yard. They can't get a yard when they need one, and it's a recurring problem that came up again last year.
And Matt,
it's just really mind-boggling.
Matt LaFleur said the tush push isn't a football play.
Well, what is it then, a hockey play? What does he mean by that? It's not a football. What does Matt LaFleur think about when one of his running backs is at the one-yard line and there's a rugby scrum and everybody's pushing him from behind? How is that different?
It really isn't different, so whatever.
Next, the Lions' proposal to eliminate an automatic first down on defensive holding and illegal contact penalties, which is currently the case, did not pass. So the Lions wanted to, whenever there's a defensive holding, five-yard penalty, illegal contact, and it's automatic, they wanted that to be eliminated. The league did not agree.
Bob, I wasn't aware of that. I should have been. I'm totally in favor of that. I think those little cheap holding calls should be just a five-yard penalty and not an automatic first down. I commend the Lions and their kneecap-eating head coach, Dan Campbell. I think
there has to be a little bit of a subjectivity to some of these calls, and they're not always the same. So that's all they're trying to do.
Is
make it
five
yards.
Make
realistic.
It 5 yards. Yeah. Not an automatic first down. I hate when it's third and, 18.
Yeah, and they get a slight holding and some automatic first down. So I agree with that, but the league obviously doesn't.
Well, they're stupid. Next.
I feel like there are a lot of illegal contact penalties that are just, a couple of touches here and there. Like the whole defensive holding, I can understand. Illegal contact, that should just be a 5 yard penalty. The onside kick amendment is going to be adjusted and voted on later in May as the league tries to figure out what they're going to do with the onside kick, with touchbacks on kickoffs now bringing the ball back to the 35-yard line as well.
That's big, and that's the way a lot of us thought it should have been last year. We spotted it right away by saying that's not a penalty in any way to have the ball come out to the 30. Like, that is not punishing. Teams are just going to kick it out of the end zone anyway. And that's what they did. So 35, now you're getting close to teams really saying, all right, let's try to kick it in play and try to make a play before the 35. I think the 40 would be ideal, Bob.
Listen, to be honest, they want both sides of this. They want exciting returns, but they don't want exciting returns. So they're trying to figure out a way. But honestly, the best way to do it is just move the kickoff back and have a return on every play. Then it's up to your special teams to get the job done. But they're citing, injuries as a reason for that. Everything is about injuries. If you really want the play to exist, then go back to the way it was. Or move the instead of where they're kicking it, move it back 5 yards or 10 yards and say, okay, now we're going to get a return.
Just go
and
back.
You have to stop the return.
Yes, I agree. Just go back to 1975. The league is twisting itself into a pretzel under the illusion that they care about player safety. I mean, this has gotten ridiculous here. They don't care about player safety. They care about presenting things like this in case they're in a courtroom someday. See what measures we took to protect the players. Yeah, while you were arguing for an 18th game in the regular season, while you were having 3 games on Christmas Day with 3 days of rest, get the hell out of here, Lemon.
And that's what I wanted to bring up next. There will now, instead of just 2, which was on a Tuesday or a Wednesday, whatever it was, be 3 Christmas Day games this year, which will all be on a Thursday.
But we care about player safety. And you can see it in the way we're doing the dynamic kickoff. Bob, I've had enough of NFL hypocrisy with this.
Here's one rule I would want to see changed. And the Christmas stuff, it was bound to happen, Austin, because they make too much money.
Well,
plus,
terrible,
there's every
Bob.
Thursday night game. But don't pretend you care about player safety.
But here's one rule I wish they would change. And that is when an offensive team fumbles the ball into the end zone, it goes out of the end zone.
Oh, I hate that rule.
I hate that. It should not be possession defense. Not at all. It should be back to wherever that play originated, and you lose it down, and they didn't recover the football. It went out of bounds, out of the end zone. Therefore, Give it back to the offense.
I disagree with every syllable you just uttered.
I know what Joe's going to say. He's going to say,
I don't care because I think it's a bad play and it's a bad rule.
I know what you're going to say, Joe. Yes, I'm going to predict it. I think you're going to say that the end zone is hollowed ground and it is different compared to the other 100 yards on the field.
No, I'm going to say the end zone is hallowed ground and is different from the other 99 yards on the field.
There it is.
And it is. If you cross that goal line, you get 6 points. So if you fumble across that goal line, it should be a way bigger penalty than, no harm. You just get the ball back at the spot of the fumble. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
No.
You lose a down, obviously.
No, it's hallowed ground. He's exactly right. Things happen around the goal line.
I just don't like that rule. I never have. They didn't recover it. So if you recover it, it's one thing. You get the ball back out to the 20-yard line, wherever. If you don't recover it, nobody had possession, which means it goes back to the offense.
You get into the end zone.
That's the way I like it.
You get 6 points on the board. You fumble out of the end zone. You lose the ball. Okay. I'm sorry, Bob.
Well, no need to be sorry. That's just the difference. I don't like that rule.
Are you going to talk about the first downs and the technology therein?
Yes, that was coming up next. We're rolling through all these rules. So there will now be... So replay assist has also been passed to basically be further utilized for certain things. And now technology, the chain gang
is... Further utilized for the Chiefs is what you meant to say, but go ahead.
The chain gang is basically now secondary. So they're still going to be there, the guys with the chains that'll measure everything.
Yeah.
But first downs will now be judged based off of technology with this expanded replay assist.
It's about damn time, Bob.
There's a song it's about damn time.
Of course, it's too late for the Bills, who had Josh Allen clearly get a first down in Kansas City. They may have gone to the Super Bowl, and now they changed the rule.
Maybe that was the genesis of this whole thing.
It may have been. I mean, what are we doing? We went to the year 2025 with a plastic chain, two plastic markers and a chain link to measure first downs when we can send people to Mars or Uranus, Bob, in 10 minutes? What are we doing?
Yeah, well, it's just about time. And the good thing for the people who operate the chain gang, they're still going to be involved. They're on the field as a secondary source. So they get to be right where they are, and that change will still be there.
Finally. And Doug Whaley was explaining this earlier today on his weekly appearance with the Morning Guys, that it's basically a video situation, that everybody will be aware of what's happening, you know, and they'll be able to get it down to the millimeter. The same way they do... And it might be different technology, I don't know, but the same way they do in tennis, right?
Yes, tennis has been great with it.
I don't understand. There's a line in football, too. So get it right in the end. Of course, again, it's too late for the Bills. Next.
The Steelers' proposal to allow for Zoom calls during the legal tampering period, as well as visits ahead of the start of the new league year, has passed, which Albert Breer calls a significant change to free agency and how communication will be for players.
I like that. It makes sense. They're doing it anyway, most likely. They're talking to agents. Now you get to talk to the player. What's the difference? I'd rather talk to the player than the agent. You can do both.
I have no idea what Albert Breer is talking about. And as I said the other day regarding this, if there was a gauge to measure how much I care about things, this wouldn't even represent a zero on that gauge. I couldn't care less. I don't even understand it. I don't care. They all talk behind the scenes to anybody they want anyway. And I have no idea what Albert Breer's talking about.
Like when Tom Brady and Matthew Stafford just magically met at, what was that, that ski resort in Utah?
Right. I mean... Bob, I don't even understand this. I don't want to talk about this rule change anymore.
Yeah, the legal tampering in and of itself sounds suspicious.
Yeah, I mean, of course it
right.
is.
Right, of course.
Legally tampering.
Anything sure. else?
One more. The Lions' proposal to reseed the playoffs based on total records was tabled, according to Diana Rossini. I think it eventually got shot down. I'd have to further confirm
that. Yeah, I think
that.
So.
Yeah, I think it did.
Well, go ahead.
So basically what they wanted to do is make it similar to other playoffs around sports where the top records are the ones that ultimately get seeded. So the Lions, who obviously were a 5 seed and were a wild card team, or not the Lions, Minnesota, rather, were one of the teams that was a wild card team that had one of the best records. It would have been different. They wouldn't have been a 5. They would have had a home playoff game based on having one of the 4 best records in the NFC.
No. It devalues divisions. The only rule I'd like to see regarding that is if you finish below 500 and win your division, you don't get a home playoff game. That's the only stipulation I would make. Otherwise, if you win your division, you deserve a home playoff game. And for the wild card teams, too bad. Win your division.
I agree with every syllable and half syllable you just uttered. Yes, I agree.
You agree, Limits?
I do. I still think that winning your division, even if you are 8-9, which it does happen occasionally, but there should still be a value on divisions. And in looking at other leagues, like look at the MLB. They took away a lot of divisional games to be able to play. All the NL teams will play all the AL teams. The NBA, they have divisions, but, I mean, who cares?
Nobody cares. Well,
no.
Well, wait a second. Then you guys, at least you, disagree with my stipulation that if you have a losing record but win your division, you have to go on the road. Do you agree with that, Bob, if that were to happen?
If you win...
You win your division with a losing record, you don't get a home game.
I could live with that. I don't think you really deserve one.
No, I think if you win your division, you just still get a home game.
Thank you, Limits. Anything else?
You're welcome. That is all. The Limitless Express vault today is closed.
Bob, I thought that was a good one today.
Yeah.
Did you?
You need a vault sound closing. That's what you need.
Yeah, you really do.
Just to finish it all up.
Of course, if it comes off certain websites, you're not allowed to use the vault closing. Limits, I thought that was outstanding. It was fast-paced. It was entertaining. It was lively. And we disagreed from time to time. I think that's the way that the Limitless Express was designed. Do you?
Fully agree.
That'll be the close.
We can't do that every day. No.
A dying sheep. Where'd you get that?
That is you yawning
last summer. What are we talking about?
Bob,
it's every day.
Does that sound more like a baby whining on a 5 a.m. flight, a dying sheep, or C, other? Let's hear it again.
It sounds like a cat in a microwave, as someone once said.
It sounds like a sheep to me.
It's a terrible sound.
Oh, cat in a microwave.
Cat in a microwave?
Well, I mean, you're trying to get me to describe what
now
I just saw.
Now I feel horrible, because imagine that, and then listen to this.
Jeez, cat in a microwave.
I know. Who said that? Somebody said that once in regard to, I forget what it was.
Yeah.
But honestly, Joe, you can do that outside of the studio, you know. If you really have to do that kind of yawning.
Not really, because it happens spontaneously. And I'm sure Ron misses it. Coming up next, Dan Sant. Yes?
Could I give you one
breaking
quick
news?
Thing? Yes.
What?
Yes. Do you want to tease it or do you want to take it to Zangrilli? This is a Pirates-related thing.
I want to tease it. The old radio tease, Bob. How do you like that?
I think that's great. That keeps people going.
Here's the tease. Someone new is taking ground balls at first base.
Oh, no.
Who is it this time?
And is this one going to be a 5'4 first baseman or 5'9?
This is a real banger
like
in the household here.
Oh, my goodness.
Who haven't they tried?
Well, you know what? I want to do this right now. Let's guess, Bob. I'm going to guess someone new.
I'm going to guess Brian Reynolds again.
That's not. Brian Reynolds wouldn't be new, though, I don't think.
Did you say new?
New. Someone new.
Okay.
Oh, my God. I'm going to say McCutchen.
I'm going to say no. He can't. He was not even in the lineup again today. This is three straight games. He's not in the lineup, and all he does is DH.
I know. I'm just guessing.
Okay, I'm going to say Tommy Pham. Why not?
Bob, your point is correct, but Joe is correct. Andrew McCutchen is taking ground balls at first base, according to a video posted by Noah Hiles in Tampa.
This is Jason Mackey's dream come true. He wrote about this like a year and a half ago. And I said, Andrew McCutchen at first base, have you lost your mind? Looks like he was right. And looks like I was right, Bob. And you reprimanded me.
No, I can't believe it's come to this. Honestly,
you can't believe it's come to this. They have a guy who appeared out of nowhere named Valdez, who was 5'9", who played it last night.
All it really was to go out and spend some money on a legitimate first baseman, and then you don't have any of these
problems.
Well,
they did bring in, to be fair, they brought in Horwitz.
Okay.
And he got injured.
But again, I'm talking about someone who has a little bit more track record than Spencer Horwitz.
So am I. Yes, I agree with that. They should have brought in a real first baseman. All right, so let's play a little game. People who have taken grounders at first base since the end of last season. You go first until we run out, and the last person standing, like musical.
Brian Reynolds.
Just Brian Reynolds.
Okay.
Now somebody else goes.
Andrew McCutchen.
DJ Stewart.
Jared Triolo.
Andy Rodriguez.
Matt Gorski.
Um.
running out, aren't we?
I know.
I got two
Joey
more.
Bart?
I
don't know if he did or didn't.
I don't know if he has. Derek Hall.
Derek Hall. That's our Hall & Oates. I forgot about him.
Valdez.
Scantling.
Scantling. The, what's his name?
Emmanuel Valdez. Valdez.
Emmanuel Valdez.
Derek Shelton. I don't know.
Anybody else limits?
Will Craig, maybe?
Will Craig back.
Will Craig. I think
that's it.
I think that this team's plight, their self-imposed plight, might be best encapsulated by the first base, by who's on first.
Oh, wait. I think Billy Cook and Nick York were
Billy Cook and Nick
right.
York.
They did it, too. You know, honestly, I don't know why those guys aren't up here right now.
Perhaps the better question is who hasn't taken grounders at
why? First. Those two guys were prominently acquired, and I think they have a lot of talent. They sound like they're ready to take this step. Why not?
Well, the guy who played last night, Valdez, I'm serious about that play. It was the one where Harrington fielded the ball and almost fell but threw it. And the kid is 5'9". If you have an actual first baseman over there who can reach a little bit, that's an out.
I'm taller than him.
Do you agree, Bob?
Yes. But, I mean, I don't even know. You know, I didn't hear any plans of his being on this roster at all, and all of a sudden he's there. I just think that's something you can solve. And, again, going back to the offseason free agency, they didn't do enough. They had something potentially to wrap their hands around. Which was Skeens, and a promising potential young staff, and yet they didn't do anything to help it. So